Let's see who all's watching with us this morning. Josh Moody, hey buddy. Hadn't seen you in a long time. Good to see you this morning. Or good to have you see me, I guess. Josh, love you, buddy. And, know God's still using you, doing great things through you and your family. So God bless y'all. Thank you for watching. Mandy, Charlene, Denise, Nicole, Tierra. I saw Miss Edie just a second ago. I know there's other people that logged on before I stuck my mug in front of the camera. Hey, Gina. Good to see y'all. Hope everybody's having a great Easter morning. Hey, Denise. Happy Easter. Hey, Eddie. We're going to get started here in just a second. Hey, Miss Joan. Good to see you and Gerald on. Hey, Miss Margie. We are going to get started here in just a second. Hey, Miss Sherry, so you're watching. Hey, Cooper, happy Easter, buddy. Miss Denise, good to see you. Love you and John. Hope y'all are doing well. Hey, Charlotte, hope you and the family are doing well. Hey, Miss Wendy. Hey, William and Elaine. Hey, Keith, how's it going, bud? Good to see y'all. Miss Gayla, good to see you watching. All right. Yeah, it's about 11, so. Well, happy Easter. Good morning. Thank y'all for being here. Hey, Miss Tony. I wish that we were together in this room. It's always, you know, there's just an excitement that fills the air on Easter. And you see everybody dressed up in their Easter clothes and after church. Hey, Farron, see you logged on. After church, you see people going out by the big tree taking pictures, and it's just such a fun day. And missing you guys today very much. But I'm so glad that we could be together in this way on Facebook Live. So, hey, Miss Lynn, see you on there. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen, church. Someday in the not too distant future, I believe that we're going to be back together again. But until that day, I'm so thankful that we can gather together in this way. So Brother Robert's going to lead us in worship here in just a moment. And I want to, hey, Miss Tish. Hey, Brother Allen. See y'all. I want to go ahead and encourage you, if you haven't already got the elements ready, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper at the end of the service. So go ahead and get those elements ready. So that can be grape juice and bread or crackers. It can be water, apple juice, whatever you got handy. Those are the elements are symbolic of Jesus's body and blood. And so whatever you have available, get that ready, and at the end of the service, we'll partake of the Lord's Supper together. I'm looking forward to that. I love you guys, and I hope that you have a blessed Easter, and I'm excited about this service. So I'm going to pray for us here in just a moment, but I pray that all of us, that we have gotten rid of all the distractions, no matter where we're at watching this, I pray that each and every one of us are ready to worship, because our Lord is worthy to be praised. Amen, church. Amen. So we want to worship him. And we want to put everything out of our minds and just worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He is Lord and Savior. And we are thankful that the tomb is empty and that he is risen. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, so good to be with church family on Facebook Live this morning. So good to worship you on this Easter Sunday, Lord. And I pray that you would bless us with more of you, with more of your presence, with a better understanding of who you are, a better appreciation of all that you have done for us, and a stronger commitment to go and live out what we believe, to go out and shine the light of the gospel into a dark world. I pray, God, that you would just illuminate your word. Later on during the sermon, just give us understanding. I pray, God, that you'd give us freedom in worship, to worship you and give you the glory that you're due. And I pray that that we'd experience your presence, that we'd be encouraged, and that we would be equipped to go out and do the work that you've called us to do. So God, we love you so much. And this is all about you. This is not about me or Robert or Pine Grove or anybody watching. This is all about Jesus Christ. This is all about our God. And we love you, Lord. Pray that you would be glorified today and every day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to get started with worship now. So sing with us, clap your hands, do whatever the Lord leads you to do, but let's worship the Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. good to be here. I'm like Grant, though. I miss you guys, and I'll be so glad when you get back. You see the empty choir loft up here. And you have to put up with me and my guitar every week. We need Miss Diane back. And so we're looking forward to some good things ahead. But for right now, we want to praise the Lord. I've picked out some songs, changed one. But the first one we're going to do today is another one by Dallas Holm. And it's entitled Rise Again. So it's this come back out of the 80s, but it's a great song. So let's worship and praise our Lord and thank him for rising again. Thank you. One we can't miss on Easter. You've probably sang it about every Easter we usually do. He arose. Christ arose, and because of him arising from the dead, we can be saved and we have hope. Mm-hmm. See, it's all in him. Sometimes we Christians want to think that we've got a little something to do with it. But you know, our righteousness, our goodness, if we want to go to heaven and try to get in there on that, we're in tough shape. But it's because of his, and Christ arose. Sing with me.
Gave his all to glory.
you, Robert. All right, that was beautiful. Praise the Lord, church. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together, and now we thank you for the opportunity to open your word, and we just pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to obey, God, that you would speak to us through your word. Your word is alive and it is good, it's beneficial for us, and we just pray that you would draw us closer to you through your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Good morning, church. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go ahead and open up with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. In just a few moments, we're going to read through the crucifixion and resurrection as told to us in Matthew's gospel. But before we get to that, we're going to spend just a few minutes talking about the Old Testament sacrificial system. See, the sacrificial system that God established in the Old Testament, it set the stage for the coming of Christ in the New Testament. So in order for us to understand and appreciate that Jesus is our sacrificial lamb, first we need to see where that concept came from. All right, so in Exodus chapter 12, the Lord gives Moses instructions that he is to pass on to the Israelites. The Israelites are captives in Egypt at this time, and 9 plagues have already been sent by God on Egypt to show the Pharaoh that he is God and that the Israelites are his people. And even though these plagues were terrible, the Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go as God had commanded him. So the Lord tells the Israelites to sacrifice a perfect spotless lamb. And after they've done that, they are to paint the doorposts of their houses with the blood of the lamb. And as the Lord passes through the land, he's going to kill the firstborn son in every home that doesn't have that blood on the doorposts. Now, this was not the only time that lambs were sacrificed. After the Israelites were led out of Egypt, God instructed the priest to sacrifice 2 lambs every day, one at 9 a.m. at the beginning of their day, and then one at the end of the day at 3 p.m. And so when these lambs were sacrificed, the priest would blow on the shofar. And everybody around the temple, even though they weren't inside there to see the sacrifice, everybody, when they heard that horn blow, knew exactly what had just happened. And this continued throughout Israel's history all the way up to the time of Jesus's ministry. And so the Passover, it's an annual celebration. And so each year, Jewish families would experience the sacrificial lamb up close and personal. So I want you to try to imagine with me being a Jewish family some 2,000 years ago, getting ready for Passover. Now, most families didn't have a flock of sheep to get a lamb from, and so they would depend on the shepherds to bring the sheep into Jerusalem around the time of the Passover. And a few days before that holiday, each family would purchase a lamb. And so the family would take this lamb home, and it would have quite an impact on the home. See, the families would house this lamb for a couple of days. And so the children would pet the lamb and play with it. They would feed the lamb. And so the family would hear the lamb. They would smell the lamb, right? And that's what made Passover so different. So unlike all those daily sacrifices that they didn't see, they just heard the horn blow and knew what had happened. Everyone lived with their Passover lamb for a few days. And everyone realized why this lamb would die when the hour came. Children and adults alike would quickly come to understand that this lamb is going to die because of my sin. So there's a story that I read recently. I'm not sure if it's a parable or a true story. I think it's probably a parable, but either way, the point that it makes is valuable. So in Germany, many years ago, there was a man. He was working up high on the steeple of a church, and he lost his footing, and suddenly he finds himself falling headfirst off of this high steeple of the church. In the churchyard below, there was a lamb grazing on the grass. And so the man fell and he landed directly on the lamb. The lamb broke his fall. The lamb died, but the man's life was spared. And so the man was so grateful, as a token of his gratitude, he carved an image of the lamb in one of the stones over the doorway of the church, so that every time he walked up, he would see that lamb and he would remember what had been done for him. See, that man was going to fall to the earth and there was nothing he could do about it. He was going to die. But the lamb broke his fall and his life was saved, and the lamb's life was lost in his place. So back to the history of the Old Testament sacrificial system. The Israelites sacrificed lambs every day. Now try to imagine, over all those years, how many lambs were sacrificed in Israel. It's probably too many to count. But no matter how many lambs were sacrificed, it was never enough. Amen. There was always the need for more sacrifices and more sacrifices. That is, until Jesus came. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness. And so the Jewish leadership sent representatives to John the Baptist to ask him, "Are you the Messiah that we've been anticipating? Are you the Messiah?" And John the Baptist said, "No, I am not the Messiah. There is one coming after me that is greater than me, and I'm not even worthy to lace up his sandals." John said, "I've been sent to prepare the way for the Lord." Then in verse 29, it tells us the next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming towards him. Now, this is the first time John the Baptist laid eyes on Jesus, and listen to what he says. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So from the very beginning of Jesus's earthly ministry, Jesus was known as the Lamb of God. Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. His death and resurrection put an end to the need for daily sacrifices. He paid a price he didn't owe, because church, we owe a price that we could never pay. Amen. That's why we're so thankful this morning for an empty tomb. That's why we're so thankful and so grateful to be able to say, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." Amen. Our Savior is not dead. He is alive and well. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for you and I right at this moment. And someday in the future, he is going to return to this earth. He is going to call his church home to be with him for eternity. So if you're thankful that Jesus Christ is your sacrificial lamb, somebody, wherever you're at, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer now before we read in the Gospel of Matthew. Heavenly Father, you are so good. Thank you, Jesus, for doing for us what we could never do for ourselves, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are that bridge that takes us from sinfulness to righteousness in the Lord. We love you, and we thank you so much for what you did on the cross. We thank you so much that though you were laid in the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and you are risen. You are our risen Savior, Lord. We love you, and we just want to be closer to you and know you more. I pray, God, that you would bless this time in the Word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Wednesday night, during our Bible study time, we looked at Jesus' experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. So, he went there with the disciples to pray after they had shared the Passover meal. And he was overcome with sorrow while he prayed. So much so that the Bible tells us that he felt like he was going to die. This was before he experienced any of the physical agony of the cross. This incredible sorrow, this was a result of him taking on the weight of the sins of the entire world. And this sorrow came from Jesus' understanding that he was going to be temporarily separated from the Father while he was on the cross. And so Jesus prayed to the Father, and he received the strength that he needed to accomplish the will of the Father. And so after this time of prayer, Judas arrived with a mob of people to take Jesus into custody under the cover of night. And Jesus knew this was going to happen. He told Judas that he knew he would betray him. This didn't surprise Jesus, and Jesus wasn't trying to get away from this. He accepted the Father's will for himself. And so Jesus was taken, he was falsely accused in front of both a Jewish court and a Roman court. And so the Roman governor Pilate, he could find no fault with Jesus. And he offered to let him go multiple times. It was the custom during the Passover week that one prisoner was released. That was just a yearly custom. And so Pilate offered to let Jesus be that prisoner that was released. But instead, the crowd shouted, "Crucify him." And they wanted Barabbas, a convicted murderer, to be released instead. And so the crowds demanded Jesus' death. And so we're going to pick up in Matthew's gospel now in verse 24 of chapter 27. Verse 24 says, "So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and he washed his hands before the crowd, saying, 'I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.' And all the people answered, 'His blood be on us and our children.' Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified." Now, I want to talk about this term, scourged, scourging, for just a moment. My Bible has a note about verse 26, and it says that scourging was a Roman judicial penalty, and it consisted of a severe beating with a multi-lashed whip that contained embedded pieces of bone and metal. So this was a wicked, evil torture device that was used. And this punishment by itself, this scourging, is said to have killed many men before they ever made it to the cross. And so at this point, Jesus's body was so bloodied and so disfigured that it would have been hard to recognize. And this, of course, was predicted beforehand in Isaiah 52. Scripture goes on to tell us that the Roman soldiers mocked Jesus. They put a purple robe around his shoulders. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They spit in his face and they hit him with their rods. And they just enjoyed mocking the King of the Jews. Then they led Jesus away to be crucified. So we're going to continue now. I'm going to pick up in verse 32 of chapter 27. It says, "As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them, casting lots. Then they sat down and they kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then two robbers were crucified, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross.' So also the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, 'He saved others. He can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'This man's calling Elijah.' One of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, 'Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So I want to share a couple of truths with you this morning about Jesus, our sacrificial lamb. First of all, the death of the lamb fulfilled prophecy. The death of Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb, fulfilled prophecy. The people living during this time, they were well aware of the prophecies in the Old Testament that predicted that a future Messiah would come and save the people from their sins. And perhaps the greatest of these prophecies is found in Isaiah 53, starting in verse 4. Let me read it for us. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So God revealed through the prophet exactly what would come to pass. The Savior would die for the sins of mankind. Well, why did he have to die? Maybe you're asking yourself that. Okay, he died. Why did he have to die? Well, that leads us to our next truth about Jesus, our sacrificial lamb. The death of the lamb defeated sin. The death of Jesus, our sacrificial lamb, defeated sin. The Lamb of God had to die because the debt of sin had to be paid. And those lambs that were sacrificed in the temple every day, they were just a picture of what was to come. They offered partial and temporary payment, but their payment was insufficient. They couldn't completely cover the sins of the people. But Jesus paid it all. Amen, church. And all to him we owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. So if you want to say amen or hallelujah, that's a great place to put one in. So wherever you're at, whatever you're doing right now, you just feel free to say amen and hallelujah, because that's good news.
Hallelujah.
Now I want to read a passage from Romans that helps us understand how the Lamb defeated sin. This is Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 5. It says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin." If you've been set free, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
"Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Amen. I can't help but think of the situation that we're all facing right now with the coronavirus. I never dreamed that we would be quarantined for an undetermined amount of time. And I never dreamed that there would be a virus that would cost thousands and thousands of deaths all around the world. And yet that's the reality that we're living in right now. And in the midst of that reality, there are healthcare professionals all around the world that are daily putting their lives on the line so that they can treat their fellow men and women. And some of those healthcare workers have contracted the virus while they were serving others, and some of them have lost their lives in service to other people. And my heart goes out to all healthcare workers. My utmost admiration and gratitude and respect. The sacrifices that are being made are truly incredible. And yet, they're only a picture of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. These brave men and women in the medical field that have died, they have enabled people to continue living, but that life is only going to last so long. So perhaps they have saved people that will live another 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and we praise God for that. But even so, death is eventually going to come for every single one of us.
Amen.
But Jesus' death makes it possible for us to have eternal life in Him. That is the greatest sacrifice of all. And that's why Christians are so excited about an empty tomb. All right, here's the third truth I want to share with you. The death of the Lamb was only temporary. Again, that's a great place for a hallelujah. The death of the Lamb was only temporary. Now, we left off in Matthew a few minutes ago with Jesus dying on the cross. But thankfully, that is not the end of the story. That'd be a sad story if that's the way it ended, but that's not the way it ended. All right, so we're going to pick back up. Now we're in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. Y'all read along with me. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He has risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So now we drop down to verse 16. So now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That is such good news, church. Jesus will never leave or forsake us. Amen. He has promised to be with us to the end of the age.
Amen.
All right. Now, I used to listen to a Christian singer named Carmen. And I don't even know if he still does music. When I look back now on the songs that he used to sing, you know, they're kind of cheesy. But as a kid, they really ministered to my heart and they meant a lot to me. And I love the man just for what he did to minister to kids during that time. And he had a song called "The Champion." And in this song, he kind of uses an allegory, if you will, to describe the crucifixion and the resurrection. He kind of paints the picture as Jesus and Satan having a boxing match. And so at the beginning, it looks like Satan has scored a first round knockout, right? All hope is lost. The demons are celebrating this whole time while Jesus was in the tomb. But then, just as the ref is about to do that 10 count and it's all going to be over, Jesus begins to rise to his feet. And the devil and the demons start to shake. And Jesus rises to his feet before that 10 count, and he puts a hurting on the devil and destroys the devil. And just like that, Friday and Saturday are gone, and Sunday morning has come, and the tomb is empty. Sometimes in life, though, we look at the things happening all around us, and it can seem like things are hopeless, and it can seem like Satan is victorious. And that's part of what makes life so hard, is that we know we have victory in Jesus. And yet there's still so much pain and suffering in the world and in this life that we can lose sight of the end because it feels so far away. But think of it this way. This life is like that long Saturday after the crucifixion. All hope may seem lost, but child of God, just hold on because Sunday's coming. Amen? Sunday's on the way. All right. So here's the last truth for us this morning. We've been talking about the death of the Lamb, but now we're going to talk about a risen Savior, a resurrected sacrificial Lamb. The living Lamb of God provides eternal life for all who believe. The living Lamb of God provides eternal life for all who believe. Now, Charles Spurgeon, I've already mentioned him once this morning, I think. Y'all know that I quote him all the time. He's my favorite preacher. There's a story about Spurgeon that I love that I want to share with y'all. He was scheduled to preach in a place in London called the Crystal Palace. And so he went there with a friend a day before the meeting was scheduled to happen. And he wanted to test out the acoustics of the building. And this was long before microphones and speakers. And so it was up to Spurgeon to fill that huge hall with nothing but his voice, nothing but his lung power to do it. So he had his friend stand at various places in the back of this huge room, and Spurgeon went up on the platform, and so he would speak, and his friend would tell him if he could hear him clearly from each spot. And so Spurgeon mounted the platform, and he shouted these words, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so he just repeated this several times over and over. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so after a while, they were satisfied that Spurgeon's voice was going to fill that room up no problem. And so they left to continue preparing for the next day. And they had not noticed that there was a worker inside the building completing some repairs to the roof. And so the whole time that Spurgeon is saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," that man was listening. And so he finished his repairs and he went home, and he couldn't get that out of his mind. He just kept thinking over and over, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he came under deep conviction of sin. And so as a result of the simple quotation of the word of God, that man came to faith in Jesus Christ. That man was saved that day. Now, I love that story, and I love that the Bible is so powerful that merely reading the word of God can lead to the salvation of sinful men and women. Jesus, our sacrificial Lamb, he rose from the grave, and in him we can have eternal life. Amen. Now, in John's gospel, right after writing about Jesus's appearances after his resurrection, John writes these words in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." See, every person is born into this world with physical life. But we are not born into this world with spiritual eternal life unless we're born again.
Amen.
We have to experience that second birth before we receive the hope of heaven. And Jesus gives us that hope. It is only in him. It is only by the name of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's why Christians get so excited about Easter. It's not about Easter bunnies. It's not about Easter candy or Easter eggs. Those things are fun. But what Easter is about to us is a sinless Savior that died in our place and rose again, defeating sin, defeating death, defeating the grave forever. Jesus is our resurrected sacrificial Lamb. So I want to bring the sermon to a close now, and I want to ask for your undivided attention. And I trust that you've been paying attention the whole time, but I guess what I mean to say is, if you don't hear anything else, if you don't remember anything else, please pay attention to this part right here. So each week, whether we are gathered together in this sanctuary or whether we're gathered together through Facebook Live, we give an invitation, right? It's an invitation to respond to what God has revealed in his word. And so with that in mind, I want to read one more passage of scripture for you before we pray, okay? It's found in the last book of the Bible. It's called Revelation. And in chapter 3, verse 20 of Revelation, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and eat with him and he with me." So if you're watching this right now and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can change that right here and right now. We're all guilty of sin and we're all in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. He's offering so much more than just forgiveness. He's offering relationship and eternal fellowship with him. So if you want that this morning, I want you to pray something like this. Doesn't have to be these particular words or any words in particular. Just talk to the Lord from your heart. Just say something like this. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm in desperate need of a Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me, purify me, and help me to go forward this day, living for you, trusting in you, relying on you to do for me what I can't do for myself. God, save me of my sin. Help me to grow more and more like you each day, and help me to give you glory each day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, then you've just become a child of God. You've just become a Christian. And I want to celebrate that with you. And I want to help you figure out, okay, now I'm a Christian. Now what do I do? What changes now? So please contact me. You can reach out to me on the church website, the church Facebook page. You can call me, text me. My cell phone number is 205-587-0303. However you want to get in touch with me, let me know that you prayed that prayer. And I just want to rejoice with you, and I just want to praise the Lord with you, okay? So now I want to transition us from the sermon into the observance of the Lord's Supper. So if you need to step away and grab the elements, if you don't have those, go ahead and grab something. All you need is something to drink and like bread or a cracker or something. So go ahead and grab those things and get ready to observe this special time of remembrance. I'm going to go ahead and pour up grape juice for Robert and I.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So you go ahead and get your stuff ready, and you may already have yours ready. And I look forward to the day when we will do this together again, but I'm glad that we can do this in this way. What a special time. No better day to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross than on Easter Sunday. Amen. So, all right. Taking the Lord's Supper together, this gives us a time to remember and reflect, right? We remember what Jesus did on the cross. He bled and died so that we can have eternal life. And we also reflect on our own lives. And we think about whether our lives are in line with the Word of God and the way that it teaches us to live a godly life. So what we're going to do now is take just a few moments to reflect. And if there's anything in your life that falls short of the standard that we find in the Bible, it's real simple. All you got to do is ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you and then confess and repent of it. And God is faithful to forgive and cleanse you, okay? So will you bow your head for just a few moments of silence with me now? Amen. All right, let's continue. So the Lord's Supper is intended to be observed by those who are, they have committed their hearts and lives to Jesus. And we find instruction on the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 27 reads, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself," that's what we just did then, "and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So if you're watching this morning and you're a believer in Christ, then I'm so happy that you can partake of the Lord's Supper with us. And it doesn't matter if you're a member of this church or a member of another church. We're all a part of God's family. So membership's not required to be a part of this. But listen, if you're not a Christian, if you've never submitted your heart and your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior, I just want to share that this is an act that's meant to be participated in by born-again believers. Taking the Lord's Supper does not save a person. It's only believing in faith that Jesus is Lord that can save a person. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so take the bread or the cracker or whatever you might be using this morning. This represents the body of Jesus, right? And then the grape juice represents the blood of Jesus. So I'm going to be reading from Luke's gospel. Luke 22:19 says, "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Then in verse 20 of Luke 22, it says, "And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for what you did for us on the cross. God, we could never repay what you did for us, but I pray that we will live lives that strive to honor you and to point other people to you. Thank you for your body that was beaten and bruised and broken for us. Thank you for the blood that was poured out for us. Thank you, God, that you rose from the dead and that you promised that you're going to come back and bring us home to be with you for eternity someday. And we look forward to that day. God, we love you. Thank you for this Easter day. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ that have watched this and that will watch this later in the day. And I just pray that you will be glorified and that you'll use your word and that you'll use the worship to draw us closer to you, Lord. We love you. And we ask all these things in the presence. Precious.